have tuned in to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastor Errol Beckford, Senior Pastor of Celebration Tabernacle Church, President of Celebration Marketplace Ministries, and author of Make Life Work in a Fast-Paced World. And here's Pastor Beckford.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Make your day count. This is the day
the Lord has made.
And we will
rejoice
and be glad.
Be glad for another day. Mm-hmm. We are in the earth realm. We are among the living and not among the dead. It's rejoicing time. You and I are among the living. God have us here to do something good. So on this Tuesday morning, our encouragement here, Pastor Dan and myself, we're encouraging you to make something good happen for someone today. Yeah, this is where you can make your day count. Make something good happen to someone that you come across. So make a quality decision that I'm going to do something good on this Tuesday morning. And if you do good, it will come back to you. Okay, good night.
Because a man reaps what he sows.
Yeah.
So we must be willing to sow good, and then in turn we will reap good. We must be willing to sow into the things of the Spirit, which are sacrificial onto the flesh, and then we will reap from the Spirit the same. All this week we're wrapping up our series of due season, and we are coming from the topic steered, not stranded. We left off yesterday, Habakkuk chapter 2, starting at verse 1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. So there's several quality decisions there that the prophet must make. He says, first, I'm going to endure time. I will stand my watch. I'm not going to be moved out of position. I'm not going to grow weary and lose heart and miss my opportunity to reap. He said, I will stand my watch. Then he says, I'm going to set myself on the rampart.
Yeah.
Too often we're waiting for somebody else to set us up.
Yeah.
But he says, I will set myself on the rampart, which was an elevated place, a fortification around a city. It was a wall. So he says, I'm going to reposition myself. I'm going to change my view. If we would just change our view of different things, the negative circumstances, just change our view to look and see, what does God want me to get out of this? How is God going to move me? How is he going to use this? The enemy says in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, but the enemy meant for evil. God is turning around and he is using it for good. In Romans, it tells us that all things work for good for those who love him. So in every situation, we have to be willing to reposition ourselves and change our view. Then he says, he makes a third quality decision. He says, I will and watch to see what he will say to me. So he had an expectation. He anticipated that the navigator was going to give him directions on this road. And what I will answer when I am corrected. So that's a big part right there. What are we going to say when God corrects us? Or God begins to shift us to another level of his glory, what are we going to say? What's going to be our response when we are corrected? And our response is our behavior. What are we going to do when God corrects us? Are we just going to say, oh, no, that's all right. I'm just going to stay as is. Or are we willing to move? Are we willing to come from the place of our comfort, the place of our convenience, into the place of his covenant, where he is driving us, where he is routing us?
Yeah, he says here, in order for us to hear and to see and to do, we first have to make that number one quality decision. I will stand my watch. And here is not moving. I'm going to stand my watch. It's like a guard and not going to sleep, okay? He set himself at a place and where he's going to see what God is going to say to him. He wants to, he isolates himself. He wants to hear what God going to say to him. And then he says, I will make sure, and he said, and what I will answer, when he corrected me. When God corrected us, I wonder how we answer that. Diana. Mm-hmm. We like to God to affirm what we're doing, right? We all want God to affirm mm-hmm. what we're doing. Oh, my child, well done. You're doing great. You're doing great. But how about God not affirming it and tell us, no, do not do that. Mm-hmm. You are wrong. Now, like what we studied, mm-hmm. your due season. Now, don't walk there. Walk here. Get on the right path. You're on the wrong path. Mm-hmm. None of us like to hear God tell us, you're on the wrong path. Because we think the path that we had is okay. That's why David says, the Lord, teach me your way, Lord. David says, I want God to show me the part of life. Show me the path I should take, oh Lord. Lead me in your truth, because mine is no good. So Habakkuk says, I'm going to be quiet here. Sometimes we need to be quiet and just listen. He says, I'm going to just be quiet here and just see what God is going to say to me and what I'm going to answer him. And he didn't say, when I'm corrected, because he said, look, God going to show me what I need to do. And I have my own plan. So now when God comes with his plan, Diane, to correct us and no, don't do that. This is the way I want you to go. This is what I want you to do. What are we going to say? No, Lord. Are we going to rebuke and put it on the devil? Oh, devil, I rebuke you. That's the devil. You know, but God is telling you something, God is telling me something, and that's our flesh jump up. No, that couldn't be God. That got to be the devil. You know why? Because that's what we want to do. So it can be God. And most of the time, it's God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
When things are bad, we're, oh, God, tell me, help me, help me, help me, help me. And we're more receptive. But sometimes when things are good and he's telling us the next move to make, you know, we're so comfortable. We're so in the convenient place that we just like, nah, it can't be God. It
can't be God. That's the devil. Devil, I rebuke you.
It can't be God, because it's going to be more work. It's going to be new territory. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. And we just want to stay in that place of complacency. Yeah. But God is calling us to do more. He's letting us know that due season is here and that it is time for us to bring forth his kingdom, to establish his covenant. We must do what he has sent us to do. And I like the way you brought out about the rampart, because that was a place where there wasn't a lot of people.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of influence right there. He didn't gather in the midst of a social function. He took himself into a place where he was most likely alone, and he was able to get his thoughts together. He was able to change his view. He was able to reposition himself and be receptive to what God was saying. He wasn't all in the mix of opinions. He was listening for what God had to say to him and his situation. And God responded in verse 2, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it." So now he gave him an assignment. He said, go write down the vision. Make it plain on the tablets. That it sounds easy, but that's difficult. Because a lot of us won't even write down our grocery list, what we need from the store. You know, we just go in there and we just wing it. But it takes time and discipline to sit down and write, actually capture the vision. If God gives you a vision for something and it said, okay, you're going to do this. Okay, well, that sounds like 5 words, but when you actually have to sit down and put the detail into how you're going to obtain it, like if he says, open a business, open a business, 3 words. So then you say, okay, I'm going to open a business. Well, what's the business going to be? How are you going to open the business? What is it going to look like? What are you going to be doing day in and day out? What are you going to need? That's all the stuff, all the understanding that comes when we actually sit down to write the vision. What's the purpose for it? What's the mission of it? Why am I doing this? How am I going to fund this? Who's going to utilize this? What problem is this going to solve in the community? So all those things have to be answered, and they have to be answered in that time that we set aside, that consecrated time to write down the vision and to make it plain. We've all know people who say their whole life, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And they have no plan to be able to do it. They can't see past where they are. There's this humongous gap from where they are to actually obtaining that. and they don't know what step one is, so they haven't even taken step one. All they're doing is just saying someday over the rainbow.
Cool. Yeah.
Because the work starts when you have the plan,
yes,
and you begin to do the steps of the plan. That's when the work comes. That's when the labor comes. That's when you put in that sweat equity into it. Just saying something is easy to do. It's easy to say I want to be a doctor, but when I begin to have to enroll in classes and I have to go course by course, it's more difficult. You're putting the work in to be able to obtain it. So he say, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. So yes, the writer is also going to read it and need that to be able to run, because we know people got a lot of opinion. And when people start doing stuff, other people's opinions show up. And they're going to try to get you to change the vision, to try to do it, oh, this way, that way. But we have to make sure and continually come back to the original vision. Why am I doing this? And did it get morphed from what other people are saying or the input of other people? And then he goes on in verse 3, and he tells him, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And it says his faith. The just shall live by his faith, not somebody else's faith. The just shall live by his faith, knowing that what God showed him is surely going to come to pass, step by step, process by process, system by system. It is going to show up. So in the end, it will speak. What's it going to speak? That the vision was true, and that it is true unto them and to each and every person who will benefit from it. Pastor has another saying. He says that that who sees it first, right? With, yes, that who sees it first receives a great reward. That who sees it later pays a great price.
Yeah. And yesterday I was mentoring one of my students in business, you know, because I have this Business Smart Mentorship Program. And he was with me. And that's exactly what I say to him. He who sees it first will receive a great reward. He who sees it next pay a great price. You're going to have to pay dearly for what somebody see first.
Think every time you go to the store and buy something,
if somebody did see it
you're
first.
You're paying a price.
For that person.
And the one who invented it, the one that has the rights to it, is getting a great reward for going forth and doing it, not just thinking about it. And I know we could all say there's times where we saw an infomercial or something in the store and we say, oh, I thought of that, but we didn't do it. The person who did it is the person who is benefiting from it, who is reaping when each and every other person is going out and paying the great price for it.
Yeah.
So God, he has given us ideas. He comes in our mind, our creative ability that he has given us. He comes to us intellectually. Sometimes we think, well, God can only come when the music is good at the church and the people are screaming and falling on the floor.
Yeah.
That's not only so. He wants to visit us intellectually. He wants to work through our mind to bring great exploits into the earth. We want to invite you to Celebration Tabernacle Church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We're located at 1010 Dixon Boulevard in the city of Cocoa. We also meet on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. for small group.
Thank you for tuning in to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastor Errol Beckford, Senior Pastor of Celebration Tabernacle Church in the beautiful city of Cocoa. For more information on this broadcast, please contact us at 321-638-0381. Tune in tomorrow to hear more about how you can make your day count.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.